Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Cup of TV. I'm James Cooper, and this is the podcast that chats to the people behind the TV shows we all love. In this episode, we're saying g'day to Stephen Dennis, the actor who plays evil Paul Robinson in the long-running Australian soap Neighbours. Stephen appeared in the very first episode of the show way back on March the 18th, 1985, and has been a recurring character ever since. No one knows Neighbours better than Stephen, so I got the goss over a good old cup of tea. Stephen Dennis, hello.
G'day.
Welcome to London. G'day, I should have said g'day. Welcome to London.
Thank you very much. Old stamping ground.
I was going to say, you must have been here a lot.
I used to live here for 12 years.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. So it's nice to be back.
Yeah. I'm a Londoner, mate.
How long you been here? How long you staying?
Arrived here on Saturday evening, going tomorrow. So, yeah.
Short trip. 5 days. Are you jet lagged?
No, more tired than jet lag.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's been a busy promotional schedule, I imagine.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Now, as is tradition with Cup of TV, we give you a cup of tea for our chat. Yum. You a big tea drinker?
More coffee, but hey, I'll drink anyway.
It's got caffeine in it, it's fine. It'll wake you up. But before I give you that, I kind of saw on your Twitter that you're a fan of shortbread.
Yeah.
So I got you some Dean's shortbread.
Oh, man, you know me. You know me, man. This is the best package. Sorry to give Dean Shortbread a big plug, but this is the best packaged shortbread you can buy. Apart from the one I make, and that's not packaged.
You make shortbread?
Oh, hell yeah. I was complimented by a Scottish woman a long time ago on the quality of my shortbread. And she said she's eaten a lot of shortbread in her life.
And yours was the best?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, crack it open, because I've got a cup of tea for you as well.
Oh, yeah.
I've got you in a Mr. Bump mug. I'll explain why in a second.
Oh, I think I might know that one somehow. This is the sound of me opening a packet of Dean's shortbread.
This is podcast gold.
Yeah, look at this. And now we get the rustling of the cellophane.
I will be expecting one, by the way. They're not all for you.
Hang on. See, that's the good thing about Dean's shortbread. They package it well. Yeah. I'm going to be the eternal guest and offer you one first.
Thank you so much.
What flavour have we got? This is raspberry and oatmeal.
Ooh. Yes, delicious.
Yum, yum. Mm.
Probably shouldn't have taken a bite before I...
That's real. This is live, crunching shortbread acting.
Okay, interview starting. So, yeah, I got you your tea in a Mr. Bump mug because your character, Paul Robinson, has been in a lot of scrapes over the years. He's evaded death a number of times.
I'm beginning to think he's immortal.
Yeah, he's got like nine lives. He's a cat.
Yeah.
So just some of the things that have happened to him over the years. He's fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, twice.
Twice? Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. He's been shot.
Yeah.
How many times?
Only once for that
only
one.
Only once, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Hit
by a car.
Yeah.
Survived a plane crash, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. What's so ridiculous about that? Daily occurrence, isn't it?
Do you ever go into work and think that, yeah, they're going to kill me off this time? This is the time I'm going
to
die.
No, see, I'm the character or the actor that goes into work and goes, they're going to try and kill me off today.
You must go in thinking, I am immortal.
Yeah.
But getting all those great storylines and those great moments for your character must be really rewarding. And
I'm always curious as to when I go into the executive producer's office, they call us into the office about once or twice a year to give us a bit of a rundown on what's happening with our characters over the next few months. And I always know that I'm going to come out with a big smile on my face going, wow, that's going to happen? But, and then I just go, oh, yeah, that's kind of normal for my character, yeah.
Oh, really? So you get regular updates about kind of the future?
Yeah, you know, they're very good. They sort of they give us a timeline for sort of 3 to 6 months all the time.
That's nice. That's nice. And as a kind of obviously, you know the character of Paul so well now. When they tell you anything, you're like, is there anything that's ever really shocked you, or something? You'd be like, oh, this seems a bit too far, or.
No. See, that's the stupid thing. It doesn't matter what they do, because my character has been through so much. I just take it in my stride now, and it sounds ridiculous, but you know, the good thing that we're doing here is we're talking about make believe, thank goodness, because if it was my real life, I would have I'd lead the most tragic life in the world. But I don't think anything will surprise me anymore. They could tell me I was, you know, going to be I don't know, abducted with a Cuban missile submarine and sent into space or something. And I'd probably go, oh, yeah, that'll work.
I'd love to see you, like, reincarnated one day or something when you do eventually pop your clogs in the show.
Yeah, because that will happen. Yeah, you can't get rid of me, folks.
Paul will come back as a dog or something and try and run Lassiter's.
Yeah, come back as Bouncer.
Oh, yes.
Hey, that'd be interesting. Look, Paul reincarnates as Bouncer, who is a ghost. There you go. There's a storyline.
That's called The Writers.
Yeah.
I think we've got
onto something here.
So let's go back a bit now. Neighbours.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenon. It always has been. And like particularly when it started in the UK, it was huge.
Yeah.
Why do you think it's so big over here? And what was... tell us the kind of... I heard a bit of a story about the first time you came over the UK. It was a bit mad.
Oh, it was ridiculous because, you know, I was just this small-time actor from Melbourne working in a little Australian soap. And we had a bit of an idea that it had taken off over here, but we had no concept at all of just how big it had become until we actually came over here. And that culminating in when we came over, the entire cast came over for the 88 Royal Command performance. And it was just ridiculous. I mean... Those of us who remember or have been told by our parents about Beatlemania, that is truly what it was. We had screaming thousands of fans everywhere we went. I mean, we stayed at the Dorchester, and they had to have security, huge security around the outside of the Dorchester, because hundreds and sometimes thousands of people used to be crowded out the front of it, and there was traffic control and all sorts of things. We couldn't go anywhere without several burly security guys. We used to have to be trucked around in this bus with blacked out windows. And
wow.
It was just ridiculous. And we were like, I mean, we loved it. It was, you know, hey, who wouldn't? It's incredibly flattering and fantastic to live that rock style lifestyle. But it all was a bit strange. Yeah, and, you know, some crazy things happened.
It's like an early One Direction. You were the Harry Styles of the 80s.
Was I?
It's what I've always said.
Okay.
So why do you think people love it so much? Why do you think it's kind of...
Do you know, it's funny because I used to always say, along with what everybody thought, and that was that, there's lots of sunshine and sort of young people in swimsuits and beach and barbecues and cricket in the... And, you know, it's probably all of those put together, but I think the key ingredients that made it and still today make it a good show is the fact that rather than being, you know, on a monotonal level, story-wise and drama-wise, and this isn't any reflection on any other shows that are like that, because, you know, everything's got a place. And you know, soaps particularly are popular the world over, and there's a huge demand for them. But what we've done is we've managed to take the audience on a little bit of a roller coaster every single episode. We have heavy drama or even light drama, and then we give the audience a little bit of a break with some light relief in the form of comedy or just light entertainment or whatever. So it's not half an hour of program and then you feel like slashing your wrists at the end of it. It's just like, oh yeah, that was great. I think it comes down to coin a phrase, family entertainment.
Yeah, and you know, some big events over the years, big stunts, particularly most recently the Lassiter's explosion.
Yeah.
When was that filmed? How long did it take to film? When you know one of those are coming, do you get excited because it's stunts?
We do. We always get excited, and we know that there's going to be a hell of a lot of work involved and very long hours when something like that happens, particularly when it involves stunt work and that, because and if it's stunt work that goes into the evening, that means very, very long hours on set, but... That's what we do, and you know, you grin and bear it. And it's not grinning and bear it. That's the wrong thing. We love it. It's long hours and tedious and demanding. It's not. See, everybody says, "Oh, you got a really hard job." No, I don't have a hard job at all. I've got a very demanding job, and sometimes very emotionally demanding. And you can go home quite drained, but you don't think, "Oh, you know, I'm not digging ditches." And so it's demanding, but it's fun. But yeah, so storylines like that are great. And as far as the explosion, that one, we filmed that over a long period of time. We started filming that before our Christmas break in November and early December last year. And then the entire set was on lockdown because it was all shot on location, obviously, on at Lasseter's in our back lot. And they had to lock it down, which is it was sort of a bit tense because they thought, wow, we've got to sort of close off the set and hope that the weather and all sorts of things don't wreck it, because it was an exterior. See, in studio, it's all controlled, but right. When it's exterior, we've got Melbourne weather, which I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but we have four seasons in a day, even during summer. And so we had to be aware that there was going to be rain and wind and all this, so it had to be locked down very, very carefully so that the continuity wouldn't be stuffed up. And then we came back. We had a 6-week break, and then we continued filming the aftermath of the explosion. And so, you know, that whole thing probably took close on a month of continuous filming. Wow. Just for the explosion side of it. Yeah.
So from when we come to see it on screen, how far back from that is it filmed?
On average, about 3 months.
Really? So you're that far in advance?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's really great now because you guys are running parity with us. So you're, I think you're, it used to be, when we first started broadcasting over here, it was 18 months, and then that caught up a month every year because we used to go off air, but it didn't go off air here.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sort of ended up going 2 weeks behind, and at the beginning of this year, they decided to run it at parity because of downloads and all of that, and the risk of spoilers. So, so you're actually only 9 hours behind now.
How hard is it to keep spoilers to yourself when people want to know what's going
really
on?
Really hard, because it's so easy to sort of, you know, oh, a little drink here. Yeah, of course I'll say, no, don't do that at all.
I've spiked your tea, so be careful later. I'm going to ask the spoilers.
No, we're sort of always on guard. I mean, it's that sort of automatic thing, I think, yeah.
So a lot's happened to Paul in his time. He's a bit of a bad boy. I think that's probably an understatement. I just want to go through a few of his scandals over the years. Paul got his brother-in-law involved in a fraudulent scheme and had to flee to Brazil to escape jail while his brother-in-law took the rap.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good bloke, isn't he?
He's a lovely guy.
He did end up facing the consequences in the end, because in order for him to come back to Australia and reside in Australia, then he had to give himself up, and he ended up serving a 3-year term of a 5-year sentence.
Good.
So it's not
justice
the first time,
is served.
Not the first time he's been in jail.
He almost manipulated the residents of Ramsey Street into selling their properties so they could build a shopping complex on the site of the cul-de-sac.
God, that was a while ago, wasn't it? Was that when he wanted to bulldoze Ramsey Street? I think it was, yeah, yeah.
What,
great.
I can't even say the word.
I know the one you're thinking of, though.
I keep saying you, but I keep trying to say Paul, because it's not you. Stefan's nice, Paul's evil. Paul polluted the local wetlands with toxic chemicals in order to get the land cheaply to further build his empire.
Yeah, yeah, but he didn't do it. So he got his minion at the time, Dylan Timmons, who was his protege. He got him to do it.
You're like Mr. Burns from
yes.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what else? You've set fire to the Lasseters.
Yeah, that little thing.
You planted explosives in a fruit van, almost killing Carmella and Oliver.
Do you remember doing that?
I don't remember that. I remember L's car blowing up. They blew up the Jag, the E-Type Jag, and he narrowly missing killing his own daughter.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He planted drugs in someone's sports bag, like you were at
high
school.
Yeah. No, I remember that one, yeah.
You swapped Steph Scully's medication for psychotropic drugs in order to get her resectioned and away from Ramsey Street.
Jesus. Sorry, I'm laughing and I shouldn't. What a cad. See, so, I used the C word, but it was AD instead.
What a cad. So is it fun playing such a kind of... I mean, he's not out and out evil. I think he has his moments.
What did you read out? I'd say yes.
But it must be fun playing the villain.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, gosh, he's broken up, what, two marriages as well?
I didn't even read the whole list.
Yeah, it goes for 14 pages, doesn't it? Yeah. No, it's really silly because, you know, in real life, you'd be mortified. But because it's on television and I'm playing a character and not me, it's great fun. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it is. It's great fun. You know, Kevin Spacey, move over.
Do you get the public kind of finding it hard to detach you from Paul sometimes?
Yeah. Oh, all the time. And yet, in saying that, what's really weird is I get approached in the street in a really positive manner. It's like so, and that's the beauty about the type of character I play, because he's, you know, that old cliche of he's the character that the audience love to hate, and accent on the word love, because they do. When I walk down the street, it's not, they don't come up and punch me. They go, "Hey, poor you legend, mate. Yay." Weird. Anyway.
I mean, you must know the show better than anyone else. You were in the first episode. Yeah. You did have a period out of the show, but you're the only, if I'm right in thinking, you're the only current character who was
in the original episode. I hold the accolade of being the longest running ongoing screen character in Australian television history.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think so. Is it a millstone or milestone? I don't know.
And do you see the end in sight, or are you kind of happy with...
Not at the moment. I'm happy with my lot at the moment. Hopefully the producers are equally happy. They seem to be. They keep giving me scripts. And, I do love it. As corny as it sounds, I love the show. I'm an actor. I get to work with my skills every single day doing what I love and working with a great bunch of people. You know, and everybody that works on a great show says that, but you know, I'm saying the same thing. We do.
I was going to ask you about the team, actually, because obviously there's not just all the actors, there's the crew. It must be quite a nice big family over there. There's a lot of people that kind of stay for a long time.
Yeah, and it is. It's going, you know, every single awards night you go to, they go, "Oh, I'd like to thank so-and-so and the producers and so-and-so. Oh, and we're just one great big happy family." And it really is. You know, after 31 years, of course it is. You know, I'm working with crew that I worked with 30 years ago, and they are, they're my mates. They're, you know, it's not just, "Oh yeah, that's the guy on Boom and that's the guy on Camera One," and that's it. No, you know, we know them intimately. They're great. We go out, we socialise, we work together, we know each other's families. It's great.
Lovely. So there's people who've been there since day one, like you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, not day one, because we were originally at Channel 7, although there is a couple of people from Channel 7, when we were originally on Channel 7, who are now working at Channel, not Channel 10, but Fremantle Media Studios.
We've just been there the whole time.
Yeah.
Hopefully it hasn't been as filled with misfortune for them as it was before.
I should hope not.
Like tripping over wires and falling off stuff. Let's talk about a typical day at work on the set of Neighbours. Mm. Is it a full day? Do you just come in and do your scenes?
Actors are the lucky ones. We, you know, people go, "Oh, again, you know, it must be so hard and all of that." Yeah, okay. It's demanding. We have to learn our lines and we have to come on set knowing our lines. And it doesn't matter who you are and how long you've been on the show. If you don't know your lines, then, you know, you'll get frowned upon. And that's sensible, you know, so that's what we're paid to do. So we come on set. I can work anything from a couple of hours a day to 12, 13 hours, sometimes longer, depending, you know, if we do night shoots after a studio day as well. But that's very rare. On average, the studio day is 12 hours. And some days, as I say, you know, we will do the whole 12 hours, and other days we might do anything from 2 to 12. It doesn't matter. I mean, for example, just before I came over here, because they were fitting 2 weeks filming into one because of my absence for the week over here, I had an incredibly heavy schedule, and I was doing pretty much 12 hours a day for the entire time. Mm. And that, you know, that's tiring, but it's not, and it's demanding, but it's not hard. It's just, it's what I do.
I guess no one can stand in for you, can they? Can you imagine
no,
that? That's not Paul.
Yeah.
Just for a week, just someone else turning up.
And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Paul will be played by
one of the crew.
Yeah. Mind you, that happens in rehearsal so often because we run a studio with our rehearsal. Our rehearsal day is on a Monday, and quite often we have pickup days on Monday, pickup filming days on Monday, where, you know, we've lost time, studio time from the previous week, and had to pick them up in the studio on the Monday. So you've got actors in studio, and obviously that takes precedence. That takes priority over rehearsal. And so we'll be rehearsing. And so I remember sometimes there's been a scene, there'll be like a four-hander or something, and there'll only be one actor, and you find yourself rehearsing a scene with three other crew members. And occasionally the director goes, no, that's silly, we'll just rehearse, record that one.
Yeah. How many scenes are you doing in a day?
We normally shoot, in a studio day, we normally shoot anywhere between sort of 20 to 25 scenes.
20 to 25 scenes a day?
We shoot on average 30 minutes a day.
Wow.
Screen time, yeah. Which is pretty amazing because people don't realise, when you put it into context, if you look at a feature film, an average feature film, and I'm not talking about a huge budget with lots of special effects and that, just average filming day on a feature film or a miniseries or you know, big budget drama or something, the average is 3 minutes of screen time per day shot in the can, whereas we do 10 times that. We do 30 minutes a day. Shoot 6 episodes a week.
Yeah, that's intense.
It is. And that's why, you know, I've said this before, I get annoyed when people go, oh, you're not a real actor if you're working on soap. You know, you'll get a real job, a real acting job one day when you go and work on stage where you can learn your craft and all that. So, well, actually, you know what? We learn our craft very, very well on television doing what we're doing because we don't get time to prepare. We don't get the time that you get on a film. We don't get the rehearsal time that you get when you're doing a stage production. We are there, bang, you give us the goods right now, and you've got one take to do it in.
Hmm. And you're pretty much in every episode, so you're like on call the whole time.
Yeah.
Any funny kind of stories from over the years on the show? Who's your best mate on set as well? Who's like? I've seen you in videos with Alan Fletcher a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Alan and I are really good mates because you know, of course, we're the two old blokes now, and we're notorious for dad jokes. We've actually got a dad joke corner in the green room. Scott Major, who plays or used to play, well, no, still does now, and then plays Scott Lucas Fitzgerald. He's one of our directors now, and can I just pat on the back to him? He's brilliant director. He's fantastic. And the crew love him and we love him as a actor's director. But he's always like, dad joke corner. And we have to go and stick our nose in the corner. Stand there for 2 minutes. Yeah. But we love him.
These are the questions we ask in every interview.
Yeah.
First thing, if not this job, what would you like to be doing?
This is going to sound really stupid, but I've thought about this more recently because I used to always say, well, chefing is the obvious one because that's what I'm trained at.
Yeah.
But you know what? These days I've got a little bit older and a little bit – I don't want the stress and the volume of work that chefing demands. Don't get me wrong, chefing's a fantastic job and very creative. But I was walking through Hyde Park the other day and I just thought, God, the lawns are a bit longer. You know, I really love the job of mowing the lawns in Hyde Park. Give me a little ride on Murrow. I'd be happy with that.
It's a simpler life.
Straw in my mouth. Off I go.
Eating all the shortbread you could want.
Yeah.
Be nice. Cool. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. I thought you'd say the chef thing. Okay. What is your TV guilty pleasure?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is guilty pleasure. Please don't hate me for this. Escape to the country. My wife's in real estate, so it's obvious she loves real estate shows, sometimes to the point of to distraction. I love Escape to the Country and Escape to the Continent.
Okay.
I love Baggage Wars. They're shocking. But I actually like watching movies. I like watching movies because I like a story from start to finish. And that's by the time I get to television, which is very late at night because I've got a young family and lots of lines to learn and all of that.
Okay.
There's crap all television on at that time of night. So I tend to, the only television that's on is stuff like Antiques Roadshow and Escape to the Country and all of that. So, yeah, that's kind of my guilty pleasure. Isn't that sad?
No, I love those shows as well. Maybe it's sad and we're just both sad together. Last box set you watched?
I don't know about box set. I'm watching Supernatural with my son at the moment.
Okay.
Which is kind of, you know, a downloaded box set, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got me onto that because he's trying to whiz through the series. His girlfriend is I think she's up to the latest series, and we've got a bit of catching up. I think we're on series 3 or 4 at the moment, yeah, because we don't get to watch it. Again, you know, we don't get to it until late at night, and he's got school in the morning, so he can't stay up too late.
You're a busy man, Stefan. There's just no time in the day. What show do you hate?
Reality television. Full stop.
Is there a show you wish you'd been in or you'd love to act in, or is there something you're like, oh, I wish I'd been in that show too?
Boss and Legal, would love to have been in that. Yeah, God, I loved that show. Breaking Bad, that would have been God. See, that was one of my all-time favourite television shows.
You'd be good in that. I could see you in that role.
I could be a bit like Walter White, couldn't
I? Yeah. You've got that many. Yes.
Well, we did a mock-up when Paul shaved his head for the cancer story last year. And the digital media arm of our show said, let's do a mock-up. And that we actually did a replica of the Walter White Breaking Bad, where he's looking over his glasses with his shaved head.
Oh, nice.
And we did the same, and it was Shaving Stefan.
Yeah. Is that out there? Is that?
Yeah, yeah, it's out. You can see it. You can see it on, you'll see it somewhere out there.
Stefan, it's been a pleasure. Take your shortbread. And,
thank you very much, yes.
Safe flight back to Oz.
And, thank you very much.
We look forward to seeing what happens to Paul in the future.
Brilliant. No, thanks for that. It's been a pleasure.